Go beyond the superficial. Go beyond the noise. And Hype delivers business knowledge gained from developing and manufacturing hundreds of products, working with high-growth entrepreneurs from all over the world. Focus, skills, and passion into innovative ideas. Take control. Transform product ideas into business realities. This is End Hype.
Transform product ideas into business reality. My name is Kelly Keene, and this is End Hype. We have a completely different show format for you today. I have my friend Julie on, and she's got a surprise. We cooked up something different. Julie, can you tell everybody what the hell we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So great to be back on End Hype again. Love the show. Today, I actually reached out to Kelly. So Kelly, I reached out to you and asked you if we could do something a little bit unusual with your show, and that we, SB Pace, have a client. It's Tim Kenzer and Logan Sanborn. I was like, oh crap, what's Logan's last name? That's awesome, Julie. We started working with them. Oh, it's been like 9 or 10 months now. It's been a while. They had this really cool and interesting idea for a product that they wanted to put out. And it's a food-based product. So Kelly, this is your second or maybe even third by now food-based product show. But we're getting to the point now where they actually have two products coming out and they are getting closer to launch. And I've been struggling to come up with a launch strategy for them. And I know that this is really an area that you're an expert. So I pitched to you, can we bring them on, learn a little bit about their business, and you can ask them some questions and as tough of questions as you want, and then make some recommendations for them for a launch strategy. And let's see how they respond to it and how we can help them really spin up something great.
All right. Yeah. I'm super excited for this. And we have a lot of mutual friends that are coaches, consultants, service providers that are around product businesses or just business in general. And I've really shifted the show to I just want to talk to brand owners about what they're doing, what their struggles are, because it's easy to identify with. But you have some really strong clients that have great products. So this is an offer for you in the future and for our friends that are listening. I won't feature you on the show, but I'd love to have you and a client on, and you can talk about your client and exactly what obstacles that you walk through, because that keeps it in line. It helps me build my community of friends, support people, but also keep it in line with what we want the brand, which is I want people to listen. And somebody's trying to start a coffee brand. Somebody's trying to start another food product. Somebody wants a supplement brand, an energy drink. So Tim, Logan, what's up, guys?
How's it going? Good to be here.
Tell our audience, tell me about who you are, what your brand is about, and then we'll get into what you're trying to do, what your goals are, what your obstacles are. We'll dive right in. But just give us the 30,000 foot view. What's the story of Logan? What's the story of Tim? What's your brand?
Okay, I'll start. So our brand is Manitou Wolf Supply Company. And we have, like Julie said, two products that we're going to be coming out with. Our original idea was to do a freeze-dried meal and come out with several of them. So we've been working on that since, what was it, September of 2020, I think. That was our first trip to Colorado. Tim and I and a couple other buddies went elk hunting and spent, you know, a week in the backwoods and decided that we did not like the options that were out there for food. And so we decided to try and come up with something ourselves. And we bounced around with different ideas for a while. Obviously, that was all the way back in September of 2020. And now we're here, 2022, finally made some decisions. And we are working towards developing like some breakfast meals, some dinner meals, and bringing something that's different to the market. So we want to change a couple things about what's out there as far as how the meals are made, like how they fuel the person that's consuming them. Hunting, backpacking, hiking, that kind of stuff is very strenuous. And we think that the stuff that's out there right now just isn't designed correctly for that type of activity. So I am actually working on my nutrition certification so that I can provide that value to this market. I've been a hunter for all my life. Tim and I are both police officers. We live very active lifestyles, spend a lot of time in the gym and stuff like that. So very health conscious. And so that is another aspect that we wanted to bring to the table, is merging the fitness industry and the outdoor industry and trying to bridge that gap and create more healthy outdoors men and women, and then also bringing people in the fitness industry into the outdoors, especially with the stuff that's been going on in the last couple of years. People have spent a lot of time indoors and cooped up, and getting outside, I know, helps myself just with everyday life and spending some time outside. And so we want more people to be able to do that. And I'll let Tim explain the other side, the other product that we've got going on, and explain himself.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. You went on a lot of stuff there. That was good. So our other product is drink sticks, but not just like a drink stick. We're really big into the, I guess, energy drink world and nootropics kind of world, that buzzword there. And so we had the idea when we were struggling to do meals to come up with an alternative. It's not an energy drink or anything like that, but it's something that is focused on health, mind, wellness, and something that also helps people in the pursuit of the outdoors, essentially, but it can be used every day. So we came up with this thing where it's loaded with certain types of mushrooms that can be found in the wild, a lot in the US. It's going to be made in the US, and it's something that you add to a good amount of water, such as like a Nalgene that you'll be taking backpacking. And the idea behind it is we wanted to make a formula that was going to keep you going, going to keep you feeling good, keep you hydrated because you're drinking that extra water along with this additive that we have, the drink stick. So there's a lot of good stuff in it. And if you look around, there's a lot of people that are using the certain ingredients that we were using, but we combined a bunch of different ones because some of them you can only find in like pill form currently. But if you look around, there are some of these bigger industries that are using things like lion's mane. They're starting to dabble in that a lot more because there's a lot of benefits of lion's mane and cordyceps, stuff like that. And they're using like smaller amounts when the recommended dosage would be a little bit higher. So ours is actually like a daily recommended dosage of what you would get of something like lion's mane in your drink. And you can either chug it or you can go with your 20 ounces, 30 ounces, or whatever, and go out through the day and use it and get that long-term hit. So that's our other product that seems to be more streamlined at the moment than the meals, just because of circumstances. But I guess I'm Tim in history of me. Yeah, I grew up hunting a lot in my family, outdoor stuff, camping, everything, RV trips, traveling out west was a big thing for my family. We have a family out there. A lot of that was just part of me growing up. And then I fell out of it because I discovered video games. So there was an odd mix of like struggling to be outside. I kept up with my fitness through college and then it fell off and whatever. And then I met Logan at the UC and that kind of got me back on the right track. Essentially, I got pretty lazy and stuff, but now I'm back out getting into the hiking. You know, my girlfriend, she loves to hike and camp. So we go and do that. And obviously Colorado, we went on that elk hunting trip and that was amazing. And now I'm looking to get a bow and stuff. And so I'm not quite there on his level yet, but the outdoors is definitely rekindled within me. But
that's great. Totally off topic, but I have a pretty unpopular opinion about video games. So
yeah.
Is it that they're for nerds and losers and people should stop doing it?
Hey, nerds run the world. Look at all those expensive people making money. They're for losers. That's it.
I have the same unpopular opinion. Yeah.
They're a lot of fun, but it's just a kind of another addiction in my mind. So
I don't know. Like I said, it's probably unpopular. I just signed myself up for like 30 else. But in reality, anything that allows us to separate ourselves from our own life in reality, it removes agency from our lives. And so from a philosophical point of just winning in our own life, you can't win by not addressing your own life. Right. I would think it would be the equivalent of taking naps or like going on vacation and expecting your business to flourish. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get fit by not going to the gym. You're not going to. So it seems too sensible to make sense right now. And so it's super unpopular opinion, but people want to launch a business. I ask them how many hours a week they spend on video games. And they tell me like 15. I say, okay, I'm taking away those 15 from you right now. Because if you're going to spend 15 hours a day, if you're going to spend 15 hours a day, you're pretty much, it's over, but 15 hours a week, you're probably not going to want to work with me. You're probably not going to like the other things that I have to tell you, but we need to take that power bank and apply it to something that is like a video game, but it's your own life and getting money in real life or getting achievements in real life. So a little bit more impressive. Okay. So I took some notes and some simple stuff, some philosophical stuff, and some tactical stuff. Let's do a little tactical thing. Guys, your name, I'll be honest with you. Your brand is what someone else tells someone else. It's the story about you when you're not in the room. Company name, it can be totally made up. It could be nonsense. As long as somebody can remember what it is, they can write it down and they can spell it when you tell them over the phone. So if you're on this podcast and you said the name of your company, how many people will remember it by now? Because I've already forgotten it. Be able to spell it and look it up. The answer is a very low percentage. So just bear that in mind. Like it could be like Woolsey or something like that. If somebody knew how to spell it, Google's a perfect example, a horrible name, but it spells exactly what it sounds like. It's interesting and memorable, but you're going to make it into something appropriate, but it's really it. Even my company's name, Red Blue Collective, it's super long. So just writing that in forms, just think of something like that. That's why I've trademarked End Hype, and you'll see a lot more branding with End Hype because it's memorable. There's no odd spelling. There's no weird political connotations to it. There's no complexity there. It's just very straightforward and it's brandable. When people talk to me, they're like, hey, this guy's very direct. He's very straightforward. Yes, that's my whole brand is built around that. Like telling people at the USPTO that if I had the same business model as the patent office, they would send me to federal prison because it's a scam. That's my brand. Okay. So good for me. End Hype makes sense. Red Blue Collective, not the best name. Your guy's name, I can't spell it.
Awesome. Can I add something to that, Kelly?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so I can never even remember it, and they're my client. So there's that, and that's been going on since they picked the name. But just to further your point of me choosing a name wisely, so SB Pace has been in business for 2 years. Our annual holiday party, the award we give out, is called the Spacey because everyone thinks our company name is SB Space. And I literally just embarked, and Callie knows this, over the last couple of weeks, we are going to do a rebrand, and I am about to spend over $30,000 to rebrand our company because the name is so bad and nobody knows what it is. And I'm done dealing with it. Right now, your investment is your URL, your domain, and your logos, right? So you're about maybe $1,400 in.
You're a 301 redirect away from a more memorable brand. So yeah, like all of the advice that I have, it is because I've already made this mistake. Or I've already worked with somebody where we have encountered this mistake over and over again. And I will say that without equivocation, like that you're going to want to have something where it sticks in somebody's mind. And then by that extension, when you talk about your company, I have a hook. And some people will call this a tagline or a value proposition, but somebody should be able to be drawn in with, we do this for somebody else. So if somebody asks me what I do personally, I say, I grow product businesses. And if they don't have a product business or they're not interested in talking to me, so if I'm at a horrible networking event, they just say, that's nice, and they move on. But if they have a product business, they say, how do you do that? What do you mean by that? Are you a marketer? What do you do, ads? And then I can move on and I can ask them questions and then I can contextually frame what I do or what my brand does with what they need and have it make sense. So instead of saying I make these meals, I'd say, hey, have you ever been on a camping trip and you've tried dehydrated meals? I say, yeah, they're terrible. Like we thought the exact same thing because, and then you tell a story and stories are memorable, right? Our brains are hardwired from primitive times to remember things in terms of stories. And we are incredibly selfish beings. We only remember things relative to ourselves. So stories allow us to be Harry Potter, right? You know, you can be like, you're going to put yourself in this story and be like, this story about camping or this elk trip is exactly what I've experienced or very similar. So they can remember that. And then they can attach that name onto it. So when I look at explaining what I do, which is painful, but helping people, helping brands build their brand and explain what they do, we want a hook that says why you're the best at this one thing. And it's one sentence. It's just bam. And the only response that I want out of that is interest or no interest. So I want interest, and then I can go into a deeper conversation. Your website's exactly like this. Marketing is exactly like this. Ads are exactly like this, because I want to get you to be a master of hooking people in literally 1 second. Okay. And then we are able to ask questions. We call out questions, and then we tell a story instead of the answer. And this brings people into an open mode in their mind where they absorb the information about your brand permanently, or at least for long-term enough, where then we can talk about the dumb stuff that other people talk about, like calls to action and like how to make sales. If you can move somebody along in their mind that way, so with a hook and then a little 30-second elevator pitch that's really just you asking questions and telling a story, you'll be able to land partners, like manufacturing partners, much more easily. You'll be able to work with, say, mentors or hire people more easily. But you'll also, if you ever wanted to go get investment or do any kind of networking or some of the strategies that we'll talk about in a second that I'm known for, this is why this is so important. Because my framework is around building somebody's brand, building up what their offer is. So a product is a component of that offer, and then understanding how we can partner in the world. About me, like, I'm the product guy, but I will also be the first person to tell you that products are a secondary or even tertiary. They're like third on my list of problems that businesses should be worried about. And so this is the thing, is that a lot of people, this is why I started Red Blue Collective. So a lot of people look at it and say, if I had this money and I could invest it in this product, I would have a business. And the reality is that I could do that, but the reason that companies fail, and Peter Thiel says this in a fancy way, I'll say it in a stupid way, it's because people don't know how to run businesses. That's it. The biggest obstacle to business is operations and distribution. So most people that start a business spend money, but then they don't have an audience. And they think that if they have a product, then they will be able to get an audience, which is exactly wrong. It's precisely the opposite. So, like, how many people are on your email list?
We haven't gotten that far yet.
Perfect. So what I'm telling you is that's step one. Okay. So the strategy is this, is if you look at the life cycle of a customer, we look at the customer journey, we have to have a strategy for each part of that journey. And it's, I break it down in a really simple way for launching companies, is that we need a strategy for getting people's attention and a strategy for nurturing that attention. So for people that are getting closer to launch, I talk about converting, I talk about retaining, and I talk about turning them into advocates. That's our relevant conversations right now, because what we want to do is we want to build an audience, and then we want to launch product after product into that audience. We're not a product company, right? We're in the business of transforming an experience in somebody's life. And we want to build solutions around that transformation over and over again, so they're a lifetime customer. So a product is a strategy for a moment in time. You can always change it. You can always refine it. But we want to be the kings of this like problem. And the reality is, when you're hyper customer centric, when you actually give a shit about the customer and their problem, you realize that whatever product that you came up with is secondary or tertiary to it. It's not as important as creating a customer. So you think about this, you're doing two things. So I really like the nootropic market. One, because it's very easy to make products for it. And two, like you could have a nootropic supplement done in 2 weeks or 4 weeks. You could also start reselling or white labeling a product very quickly that already exists. It's very high quality, but that pushes this problem to the front. So if I gave you the perfect product today, I said, this is the best. This is that lion's mane product that like Tim Ferriss is always yapping about. And now you've got it. You're the only person in the world that's allowed to sell it. Could you sell it?
Could we sell it? No.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say that I was like, okay, I'm going to promote it. So you're going to get 100,000 sales tomorrow. Would you be able to run the operations of that?
Probably not.
Exactly. Exactly. Because look, the product already exists. You can always spend your money with a nerd like me that can make anything. Is not any problem that you can solve with money is not a problem. Like money doesn't solve problems. It just buys you speed. Okay. And this is the biggest mental problem that people have is they think, dude, I make crazy stuff. Okay. I make crazy things. I have a clean tech product over here. I'm making a specialty shoe. We're making a hair tool. Julie knows some of these clients. Like I'm making a kiosk for the banking industry. I make all kinds of wild things. And in every one of those cases where the business is successful is that we incrementally grow that brand and that audience. And then we subsequently drop in more complicated products when we know we're going to win. We create inevitability in our life. We don't create questions. And so I know this is like the opposite. The analogy that I give is that Boeing doesn't make a fighter jet and then ask the US government if they've ever thought about flying a plane. They say, we're the best at building anything that you want. How about you spend $5 billion? What kind of plane do you want? I can build an organization for you. I can build the infrastructure for you. I can manage the talent. I can manage the requirements. I can do this from your idea to our facility to the skies. I can do that for you. They don't invest in guessing. And if that works for big companies where they move relatively to themselves, they're very inexpensive and very fast relative to you're talking about a $50 billion company that makes really complicated things. Entrepreneurs are sold a lie that it's about the product. It's not about the product. I wish it was. I'd be much more successful because this is why people fail. They spend money on product and I'm like, hey, you should spend a little bit more money on figuring out how to get an audience. Then I'll make whatever product you want or I'll hook you up with the right person to do that. But that's why I talk with people like Julie, because I know that at first it's going to be building that audience. And then second, it's going to be operations. And so I really want to push back on that. And does that make sense? I don't want to like totally steamroll you guys.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. So if you had an audience, if you had a list of 100,000 people, they all knew you, respected you, they loved you because you had been doing something for them. Maybe you'd been creating content. Maybe you had released more simple products. Maybe let's just future pace it a little bit. If you already had a list of people, and they actually opened up your emails. They actually watched your videos and they were like, man, I'm just waiting. What is Tim and Logan going to do? That's how these people look at their audience. And they say, people like they start a podcast or a YouTube channel and they have five people listening. They're like, how do I monetize my audience? I'm like, well, you got to get a bigger audience, first of all. But second of all, you have to know what they want, right? So it starts with just building a very small group and saying, can I go out and talk to 10 people that are my target group? And I talk to 10 of them, do exactly that pitch that I just taught you. Hey, we're doing this really cool thing. And walk through and have a real conversation as a human being to them, ask them about their problems and their challenges and write them down. If you talk to 10 people, here's what's really cool. I'll know that you know how to find these people because they all belong to certain communities. Right? They look a certain way. They talk a certain way. They have certain vocabulary. They hang out at certain places. That at a bow hunting competition, it's highly probable that those people also hunt. So it's not a big logical leap to say, but whereas if you went to like Camping World, there's RV people, a broader audience. But once you start niching down to those people, you know, hey, there's these three really big Facebook groups. Hey, here's like the top five influential people that everybody already knows, likes, and trusts that are in this space. Here's where the people are. These are the events that are important to them. This is what they read. This is the things that they believe to be true. You start actually understanding them. But if you go out and talk to 10 of those people, you'll know where they are. But two, you'll be able to predict the future. You'll already know by that 10th person, the problems that people will say, the obstacles that they say. Because I think both products, there's so much focus, mental focus associated with hunting in general, like the vocabulary that's in that world, that makes a lot of sense. As an aside, Julie knows this. I always tell people just do one dumb thing until you can't do it anymore. Don't do two things. It's really hard to grow a business. The more things horizontally that you do, the more difficult it is to push it forward, right? So if you think of growth on vertical, hey, I'm making money, stock's going up. The more things horizontally that you have, the harder it is to get that lift. It just is. If it takes 6 months to do a project and you want to do three, it takes 12 to 18 months instead of 6 months. And it is what it is, but it's also more difficult to brand it. Your audience gets confused. It compounds a lot of difficulty. So I would think about what's the one thing that I can do, and I can just build a brand around that. And then you can always expand your product line or expand your offer after that. But so when you go talk to people, you're going to hone in this way of pitching and communicating with your customers. You're also going to build a personal relationship with people that could be your early adopters. They could be the people who give you feedback. They're going to be your super fans. You're going to find your super fans. You got to find your advocates. They don't have to be famous people. They have to be honest people. Okay. Super important. And this positions you for my strategy. The thing that I'm known for is for doing strategic partners. So I do strategic partnerships with big companies. I do strategic partnerships with sales organizations. I've done it with influential people. I hate the term influencers. I hate the term thought leaders. I hate all that stuff, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I don't pay some girl to show her butt for $500. I can already see it for free. I've seen Instagram, right? So what I do is I find somebody because I don't have a brand. You don't have a brand right now. Let's be honest, right? You don't have a brand. Right. You don't have a list. You said you have zero people. But what you do have is you have muscle. You have time. And if you can get the operations down, you can go to somebody that doesn't have time, but they have an audience. People don't buy from people they know and trust. It's a lie. It's a total lie. Do you know and trust Bill Gates? Probably not.
No.
No. Do you use Windows? Probably.
I have a Mac.
There you go. Okay. If he was alive, do you know and trust Steve Jobs?
Him, but I don't know him or I like the concept of him, but no, it's
yeah, yeah. So here's the thing is that we buy from social cues. We buy because of people we know and trust. Mm-hmm. So let's say that you like Sean Whalen, right? It's probably a reasonable assertion, right? If he said, Callie's the shit, Callie's the best, you would be like, who is this person? You wouldn't know anything about me, but you would be willing to spend the time to figure out who he just co-signed on. Mm-hmm. That's how everyone buys. Everyone buys from word of mouth. That's how our world is structured. Our world is structured based on identity. And if we want to belong to a niche group of people and we want to be seen as savvy and as part of the in crowd, smart, we want belonging, right? The belonging is one of the most strong, rooted human emotions and like neurological phenomenons that we have. We are a tribal beings, right? Even people that hate people, they wish people liked them. So it's like this is nobody knows you, but they know somebody else. And if you know who you serve, you know what problems they have, and you're willing to put in the muscle with a little bit of validation, like sending simple test products to them, things that you're willing to go do the work on the white labeling. Say, hey, I'd like to send this to you. We're building a brand and you can co-market with something that they have. Maybe they have a training program that can go attached to it. You can make special editions with them. There's lots of ways to think through a partnership with that person, but it solves the audience issue. So if you want to have 100,000 people that know and trust you, you need to go through who owns that audience. And that's the question that I ask anybody. Who owns your audience? Because Mark Zuckerberg has your audience's begrudging attention, and Facebook ads are a terrible way of chasing after it, right? But somebody has that list already and they email them with content and newsletters, or they have private communities. Somebody already has enough of your audience where you can make $1 million in a month. That's the thing. Once you understand that's true, your job shortens down to say, how can I be legit enough where this person is going to want to work with me, or some person similar to that? That is your business problem. It's all operations and solving that problem. So being able to describe your brand, describe who you are, telling your story well enough to get that one deal, because that one deal will change your life and change your business.
Do you guys have any questions?
Soaking it in at the moment.
Yeah.
You know who that one who has your audience. We've talked about this about 100 times since we started working together. Mm-hmm. Right? You have a really clear understanding of who your audience is.
Yeah. No, I have several people in mind that could combine in a good way.
All right. As much as I'm loving this conversation, I have to cut it short here. So this isn't the longest podcast episode ever. So tune in to the next episode as I continue this brand breakdown with my buddies here and figure out how to tear down the obstacles, overcome the challenges, and build an iconic, amazing brand that they can be proud of, help them get to market, answer all those crazy questions that create confusion. I want to give you clarity. If you'd like to be on the show and break down the issues that you have that are preventing you from launching, that are preventing you from building that $1 million or multi-million dollar brand, that are preventing you from turning your ideas into a product business, DM me. Message me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Carrier Pigeon. I don't care. We'll bring you on the show. We'll break it down just like this. I will give you thousands of dollars worth of free consulting. And we'll do it live here on the show. So I appreciate you for listening. Tune into the next episode as we go through the next steps with my friends here.